You have a $5 gift card to the Roasted Bean Coffee Shop. And if you are tech savvy, which I think like everybody in the world is now, you can also text us your name and email at our church number right here. And we will get that to you too. Just send us your email and then we'll ask you for your address, or you can send us that in the text and we'll get that over to you, okay? We are going to talk about some things going on in the life of the church. So here's what you do. Everybody go ahead and pull out your phone. Pull out your phone. It's the only time in church I'm going to ask you to pull out your phone. So go ahead and pull out your phone because this is our church number. So if you don't have our church number, you need to put it in your phone. But there's some things I want you to be able to sign up for via text here in just a second, okay? So I want you to pull out your phone. The first thing that we have coming up is we got our block party. Our block party is going to be in 2 weeks. Next weekend is Labor Day weekend. If you're going to be traveling, I hope you have great travels. Hope you get some rest. Most of you are going to have a day off, so that's going to be fun. But the week after that, on September 10th, we are going to have a block party here. And so what we're going to do is we're going to have a service, and then afterwards we're going to go across the street at the Extension Center. We're going to have two inflatables. We're going to have a bounce house. We're going to have a 15-foot inflatable slide. We're going to have some pulled pork. Wes and I are smoking pulled pork. And then we want all of you guys to bring a side. And then also, it's our five-year birthday. So we're going to be getting a big cake and celebrating that as well. And so we want you guys to be a part of this day. This is going to be a really big day for us. We're also kicking off a brand new series called Bad Advice. But the other thing I want you guys to use us for is this is a Bring a Friend Day. So I want you to really invite your coworkers, invite your friends, invite your neighbors. This is going to be a great day to come to church. So we want to really pack this place out and have a really good Sunday. So we hope you guys will invite people and share all of the news about this on social media. We have an event page saved for this on our Facebook page. You can go and share it and tell your friends about it. So we hope you guys will do that. And then the other thing we have starting up the very next day is we have the new learning environment for our ladies called Comparison Trap. It's going to be on Monday nights and it's going to go for 4 weeks. It's going to be at the Bank of Old Monroe. Go ahead and go to that next slide, Camden. We got some information on how to sign up for that. It's going to be at 7 p.m. And if you'll just text us your name and say, I'm in for Comparison Trap, we'll get you all signed up for that. There's a journal that comes with it that helps you to journal every single day on this. And we actually have 10 of those books available. Pastor Carey's going to have those at the welcome table after service. So far, we have 10 people signed up. So if you've signed up, these are just a $10 donation is what we're asking for. They are more than that, but we're just asking for a $10 donation. If $10 is a problem, just talk to us. We'll work it out. You know, you can come to my house and do dishes or something. You know, we'll make you work for it. It's cool. But we want you to be able to pick that up. So if you've signed up and you want to pick up your book today, do that at the welcome table. If you haven't signed up yet, that means we're going to need to order more books. So please sign up today, okay? Text us and say, I'm in for Comparison Trap. Starting on September 11th at 7 p.m. for 4 weeks, okay? And this is going to be a great ladies' learning environment. You guys are going to have a great time with that. I'm really excited about that. We already have 10 people signed up, so that's awesome. And then the next thing I want to let you guys know about, it is that time of the year to start getting ready for Trunk or Treat. Woohoo! Yeah, we're excited. So if you don't know what our Trunk or Treat event is, we have done this for 3 years now. We go and take over the Kroger parking lot, and we provide a safe Halloween alternative for our community. It's one of our ways we bring the kingdom to light. And we've had it for 3 years now. What we do is each trunk has a different theme and a game. So you might go to one trunk and find, you know, Batman and Robin playing some sort of card game, or you might go over to Tim Dillo's famous deer trunk and shoot some coyotes with a rubber dart or something, and you play all these games. Now, last year we had like 2,000 people come through in an hour, okay? So this is a really, really big event for us. We're open from 6 to 7, which allows you guys time to get over there, get set up, and then people come through and trick-or-treat. There's inflatables and all kinds of stuff too. But in an hour that we're open, we had like 2,000 people come through last year. Now, I will tell you, I'm trying to get ahead of the game right now. And last year we had about 16 trunks. I would like 25 trunks this year because we had such a big volume last year. But I just made the event page and put it out on Facebook. And I put that up on Tuesday and it's Sunday. As of this morning, it has 4.2 thousand views. Because, as I told you guys, we are now in charge of all the outreach projects of Bright Futures. So this event is sponsored by Anchored Hope and Bright Future. And so it put up on the Bright Futures page as well. And then the Lincoln County, Detroit Chamber of Commerce, who is another partner of ours in the community, shared it as well. And it has got 4,200 views already. So I think we're going to have close to 3,000 people come through on this event. So I want 25 trunks. Not only do I need 25 trunks, 25 of you to help out and to be a part of this, but we also need 15,000 pieces of candy, which is the most candy we will have ever collected for any event, any Easter egg in your trunk or treat. So next week, there's going to be a banner and a tub back by the welcome table, and I need you guys to start going and buying candy now, because 15,000 pieces is a lot. Now, I will tell you, you can go to Sam's and you can buy a 750-piece bucket of bubble gum for like $6, okay? Bubble gum, Tootsie Rolls, all great cheap things, okay? We don't have to give them Cadillac candy. We just need 15,000 pieces of candy, okay? Sugar is sugar, folks, right? It's going to rot their teeth out either way, okay? But we need your guys' help. So here's the thing. I know you guys aren't the most proactive group when it comes to signing up for stuff. Don't make me make Carrie call you, okay? Don't make me make, see how we did that there? Don't make me make Carrie call you. And then if Carrie can't get through you, then we'll send the big guns. We'll send Brad Lindsay to your house, okay? And trust me, when Brad Lindsay knocks on your door at 9 p.m., two drops will come out, okay? You will get scared, all right? So don't do that, all right? So I need you to sign up now, okay? Right now. It's from 6 to 7. It's an hour. I promise you, you will be back to whatever neighborhood you want to go to with your kids trick-or-treating by 7:45, and you will get plenty of candy, okay? You will be okay. I need your help with this. This is one of our biggest community events we will have this year, okay? So I want you guys to start getting proactive. If you need ideas for a game, if you need ideas for a theme, we will help you. We have done this many, many times. We can help you get materials. We can help you think of a game. Just talk to us, okay? But I need you guys to sign up for this. This is going to be a really, really big deal, okay? So we've got that going on. So that's kind of what's going on in the life of the church. We've got some other things we're working on. A lot of fall stuff for the fall we're going to start talking about here in the next couple weeks. But we really want to make Trunk or Treat a big focus for the next month as we get prepared. And you should have got an email from me, too, that tells you a little bit more about this event and how to do it. So we'd love for you guys to be a part of this. At this time, our ushers are going to come, and we're going to receive his tithes and offerings. If you're new here or you're a guest here today, there's no cover charge for being here. This is part of our worship. We believe that God has blessed us very much, and this is our way of supporting his work in the kingdom. And so we hope you guys will participate in that, how you feel called and led to do. I also want to let you guys know, too, we officially this week launched our podcast, and so if you go to your podcast app or iTunes and put in Anchored Hope Church, you can find a handy-dandy little subscription button to our podcast, and you can set that up to get notifications, and as those sermons get posted, you can have them sent directly to your phone. You'll get a little notification that says Anchored Hope posted a new message. Here's what it's all about, and so we would love for you guys to go and give us a review and hit the subscribe button. If you go to that page, there's a place where you can leave reviews. We would love for you to leave a review of our church and our services and what you think about them. And that helps us to be able to get more web traffic and helps us be able to be a little bit easier to find in the search bar and stuff. And also will draw other people to our podcast as well. So we're really excited about that. It's a great opportunity for our church. So we hope you guys will go and do that this week too. Go check that out and hit the subscribe button and leave us a review, okay? At this time, we're going to dismiss our kids. They're going to go over to the Extension Center and have some fun and get a lesson at their level. So all of our kids through sixth grade, they're going to go have a blast and play some games and have some fun. Well, we are wrapping up our series today entitled Big God. And we've been talking for the last 6 weeks about faith and about what it means to have faith in a very big God. And kind of our basis for this entire series has been out of Hebrews chapter 11. If you don't know about Hebrews chapter 11, it's called the faith chapter because it goes through really what faith is and also recounts all the different heroes of faith that were in the Old Testament and in the Bible and how faith got them through very big problems, how belief in a big God got them through big circumstances. And so just to review just for a second, since we've been talking about this for 6 weeks, Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1 starts off by telling us the definition of what faith is. It says, faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. And it gives us assurance about things we cannot see. Through their faith, the heroes of faith, the people in days of old earned a good reputation. So what is faith? Faith is confidence that God will give me what I hope for. I really hope that, you know, this week nobody gets sick, nobody gets in a car accident as they're traveling Labor Day weekend. I hope that's what happens. But even if I don't get what I hope for, faith gives me complete assurance about things I cannot see. Me, if I don't get what I hope for, I have complete assurance that God is doing things I cannot see in the background. That God has not forsaken me, God has not forgotten me. He's just working in the background and he's doing things that I can't even see and can't even understand. And as we talked about the very first week, that's what faith is. And then we read about all these faith heroes and they were commended for how they had faith in the midst of big circumstances. Here's kind of a list of some of the people we've talked about that Hebrews mentions. It starts in verse 11. He says, by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. By faith, Moses left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. All these people, in the midst of big circumstances, had very, very big faith. And they were commended for it, right? We preach about it today. We celebrate their lives. We encourage people. Have faith like Abraham. Have faith like Rahab. Have faith like Sarah, right? And today, my plan, you guys really busted up my plan last week because I had my sermon all written and I had to completely trash it and start over new because I had planned to finish a series by talking about Noah. But I said something last week that really got your attention. And I saw it posted on social media, and I saw it talked about, and even as I said it here, I saw a lot of head nods. If you don't know, you and I are communicating during the sermon, okay? If your head is nodding, that means I'm with you, okay? If your eyes squint, either you're falling asleep or you're intrigued a little bit by what I say, okay? If you do one of these, it means you're mad at me, okay? And that means I'm going to start backing off, okay? I read your body language. I can see it very well, okay? So I said something last week that caught your attention. And this is what I said last week. We were talking about faith, right? And we were talking about how faith doesn't stop bad stuff. It gets you through bad stuff. And the idea was this. Many times we think, well, if I have faith, bad things won't happen to me, right? And then when bad things do happen to us, we go, oh man, that faith thing didn't work. That prayer thing didn't work. See, God has forsaken me and he has forgotten me. No, 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 no. Here's what you need to understand about faith. Faith doesn't stop bad stuff from happening. It gets you through bad stuff. And that resonated with many people because it kind of made sense, right? It seemed to ring true, right? You're like, oh, okay, now I'm getting a better idea about this faith thing. It doesn't stop bad stuff from happening. It gets me through bad stuff. Well, okay, I like that. Now I'm starting to understand a little bit more about what this whole faith thing is about, right? So it doesn't ensure that bad things won't happen to you. But I want to add another layer to that statement, okay? I want to add something to that because I really want you to leave here with a better idea about what faith really is and how it's used and why we need it. Because here's the other thing that I think you'll notice is very, very true, right? Faith doesn't stop bad stuff from happening. It gets you through bad stuff. But here's the other thing. And sometimes, it causes the bad stuff you have to get through. Think about that for a minute. doesn't stop bad stuff from happening. It gets you through bad stuff. But also, sometimes, the reason the bad stuff is there is because of your faith. Now, that may not make sense, but let me explain. So sometimes your choices get you in the midst of bad stuff, right? You dug this hole, right? You did something bad. It's not God. It's not the devil. You're the one, okay? Your bad choices got you in the middle of that bad stuff. Sometimes life throws you bad stuff, right? Life just throws you a curveball, and it just pops up out of nowhere, and you're in the middle of a bad season. You're in the middle of a big situation with big circumstances and big costs, and, you know, life just kind of threw you that ball. It's a broken world. We get sick. We get hurt. People outside of our control make bad choices. Sometimes life just gets us in the bad stuff. But sometimes it's our faith that gets us into trouble. Sometimes it's our faith that gets us in the bad situation that we need faith to get through. I mean, think about all these people that we have been talking about, all these heroes of faith. Their faith didn't keep bad stuff from happening. If anything, it was their faith that got them into trouble in the first place. It was their faith that caused them to pick a side. It was their faith that drew a line in the sand. It was their faith that made them wait. It was their faith that made them speak up. It was their faith that forced them to go. It was their faith that got them into all this trouble, right? I mean, look at it. Faith is what called Moses to be a hero. Moses had this great life with this great family, with this great new girl he met, and he was out taking care of these sheep and working for his father-in-law, and faith called him out of that comfortable life to go and be this hero who would go up against Pharaoh. Faith did that to him, right? Faith is what called Rahab to answer that door and to be brave enough to let those spies in, and that put her life in the unsafe situation that it was in, right? Faith is what made Sarah wait and wait and wait and wait for a child. And faith is what made her go through these anxious moments of forcing herself to be patient, right? Faith is what made Abraham take his son up on the hill and possibly put him through this traumatic experience where he almost killed him, where he took his son and put him on an altar and raised up a dagger and about killed him. I mean, that is what faith got Abraham. And then we talked about Daniel last week. Faith is what got Daniel thrown in the lion's den. Daniel had a great career. Daniel had a great life. But faith is what drew a line in the sand and made him choose between his job and his friends and his life and God. Faith is what got all these people in trouble in the first place. And that's sometimes what faith does, right? Faith is sometimes the thing that challenges and puts us in the season where we need faith in order to get through it. I remember whenever I was a teenager, and I would start dating a girl, and I would tell my parents about it, and I would tell my youth pastor. Some of you guys know my youth pastor, Pastor Mona. She was on staff with us for a while. I would tell Pastor Mona about it, and every time my parents and Pastor Mona asked me the same question: well, is this girl a Christian too? Does she have faith? And I'm like, what does that matter? Why can't I just she's pretty. That's what I care about, okay? She's good looking. That's what I like, and she likes me, okay? Well, if she doesn't have the same faith as you, I really don't think that that's somebody you should be dating. What in the world is your problem, right? Time and time again, Pastor Mona and my parents would always harp on me, and most of the time, they didn't have faith, but I didn't care, right? But they would always constantly, well, that's probably somebody you shouldn't be with, Michael. Why? I want to be with them. Because they don't have the same faith of you. Faith made dating very, very challenging, right? Because my youth pastor and my dad and my mom kept harping on me. Oh, you can't just find any girl. And I'm like, well, there's a limited list that want to be with me already, okay? So it's already a short list, and you guys are just making it shorter, right? Geez, you're making this really hard on me, right? And that's what faith did, right? And then, man, just growing up in a pastor's household. I'm a pastor's kid, if you don't know. I always had to do the right thing. Always had to do the right thing. And if my parents didn't tell me to do the right thing, it was my faith. It was the Holy Spirit constantly telling me, you know, Michael, you should really do the right thing. You know what's right in this situation. You know you shouldn't lie. You know, and it just, my faith made me feel guilty. Don't you hate that? Some of you guys who have come to church for a while, don't you hate that about coming to church now? Is you didn't used to feel guilty for nothing, right? I mean, you could flip somebody off on the in traffic and you were totally fine. You were happy about it. But now you have this guiltiness, this shame. You're like, what is this feeling? I used to enjoy doing these types of things and now I don't even enjoy it. Get this off of me, right? That stupid faith just makes life so much harder. It was so much easier when you could just do whatever you want. You didn't have a care in the world. You didn't feel shame. You didn't feel guilty. You didn't feel wrong. You didn't feel dirty after you did it. But now this faith, now you got to do the right thing, right? Now you got to make things right. You know, used to, you could have an argument with your wife and you could prove you were right. And you could go sleep on the couch and you could be fine, right? But now you got to go talk to her, you know? That stupid faith makes you do the right. The faith lets her win, you know? Makes you admit when you were wrong, I hate that about faith, right? Faith just makes some things harder, right? I mean, all of a sudden you got a conscience, all of a sudden you feel guilty. Man, now you got to do the right thing. And that's what faith does. Faith challenges us, and I think we all know that to be true. If you've been a true follower of Christ long enough, there comes this time where you start to have this tug of war in yourself. And it makes life a little more challenging. It makes life a little bit more hard. All of a sudden you care about things a little bit differently, and it makes life harder. It makes you choose sides. It makes you do, you know, at work you used to just go with the crowd. Man, if everybody was telling them a dirty joke, you'd jump right in and tell the best one that you heard your dad say too. Or, you know, when everybody else was going out and partying and doing whatever they pleased, you'd go out and do whatever you pleased too. But now all of a sudden, you know, you're this follower of Christ and you're trying to bring the kingdom to light and you're trying to represent the church and Christ and all this stuff. And you're like, oh man, I can't do this anymore, and I can't do this, and I can't participate the way I used to participate. It just kind of makes life challenging. It makes it tougher, right? And that's the thing that faith does sometimes. It makes us pick, and it makes us choose, and it can make life harder. And here's the thing. With all of these people that we've talked about, all these people have a common element in their stories. They all saw a happy ending, right? In each of these stories, you know, they all got what they were looking for. They all really honestly got what they had hoped for. They didn't have to have that much faith, really, when you think about it. Because their ordeals, some of them lasted a few days. Abraham and Sarah, yes, many, many years. But most of them, it's a short story, it's a blurb. It lasted a few days or it lasted a moment. And it was a very, very quick thing. And they all received what they had hoped for, right? But here's the thing. These are the happy stories. If you continue to read on in Hebrews chapter 11, you find that some people had an even much harder situation and ordeal to go through. If you continue to read the chapter, you run into this big hefty part at the end, starting in verse 35. And this is what it says in verse 35. It says, women receive their loved ones back again from death. Yay! Okay, so here's more happy people. But then it just, woo, turns. But others were tortured, refusing to turn from God in order to be set free. They placed their hope in a better life after the resurrection. Some were jeered at, and their backs were cut open with whips. Others were chained in prison. Some died by stoning. Some were sawed in half, and others were killed with the sword. Some went about wearing skins of sheep and goats, destitute and oppressed and mistreated. Go on to the next one. And they were too good for this world, wandering over deserts and mountains, hiding in caves and holes in the ground. All these people earned a good reputation because of their faith. Yet none of them received all that God had promised. Quite honestly, we've been reading the happy stories. But there are a group of unnamed heroes. We don't even know their name. We can't even preach about them. We can't even mention them. We can't even tell their story. That's how in the hole they were. And their lives were very different. Their ordeals didn't pass in a couple days or even 25 years. Their ordeals lasted a lifetime. And some of them spent the rest of their days wandering the earth in the desert, living inside of holes, living inside of caves. Some of them were killed. Some of them were imprisoned. Some of them were beheaded. Some of them were whipped. Some of them were murdered. And you get to the end of their story, the story which we don't even truly know, and it says, and you know what they got? They earned a good reputation. You know what that means? It means they got a golf clap. That's what they got. And this group of people, they did not receive what they had hoped. No, they didn't get that at all. It ended in death. It ended up in being forgotten. It ended up being a totally different story. And here's the thing I want you to realize is sometimes, the church and pastors are a little bad at this sometimes. We tell those happy stories, the people who got what they had hoped for. And we go, yeah, so be an Abraham, be a Sarah, be a Moses, and be a Rahab, and you'll get what they got too, and it'll be nothing but blessings and good times, and faith will get you through it. You just got to get through it, and on the other side is a blessing waiting for you. But, you know me, I'm a little bit more of a realist. I want you to understand the truth. If you keep reading the entire chapter and you get to the end, and this is the end, I want you to understand something else about faith. Is faith doesn't guarantee that you will get what you hope for. And faith can put you in some very bad circumstances. Faith can get you in some holes. Faith can push you out into the desert and into the wilderness. Faith can put you in a situation where you won't receive what you hoped for and you won't receive everything that God promised or wants to give you because somebody will take it away from you. And sometimes at the end of the situation, all that is waiting for you is a good reputation with God. That's the truth. That's reality. That's life. And most of us know that to be true. So now some of you are probably going, well, you're really bumming me out. I don't think I want to be here anymore. This faith thing is a real mess. You've just told me it's going to make my life harder. It's going to really just eat away at me sometimes, make me feel guilty, make me feel some shame. It's going to make me, do some things that I don't want to do, draw some lines in the sand, be a different person and all this stuff, and maybe even put me in a circumstance that I can't get out of. Maybe put me in a situation in life where, I get whipped or I get beheaded or I get sent wandering the earth. I don't want any of that. You're really bumming me out. So, man, you're not doing it. I'm not obviously a very good salesman on faith, right? So some of you are probably thinking, because I thought it to myself as I was reading all this, so what is the point of having faith? If faith has the potential of getting you in a bad situation that you can't even get out of, even with faith, what is the point of having faith? Why should I have faith? Sell me on it. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. So why have faith? If faith sometimes puts you in a bad situation, why have faith? Well, here's the thing, is if you continue to read on, we read verse 39, but if you read verse 40 with it as well. Verse 39 and 40 says this, as ye people earned a good reputation because of their faith, yet none of them received all that God had promised. For God had something better in mind for us. So that they would not reach perfection without us. The scriptures say that they got something better. What do you mean something better? They didn't make it. They were tortured. They spent the rest of their days wandering the earth. They got a good reputation. But what in the world do you mean that God had something better in mind? What is that they're talking about? Well, here's the crazy thing. Noah and Abraham and Rahab and Daniel and all these people, they're great heroes of faith. But these are the real heroes, the forgotten, the ones whose names we don't know, the ones whose stories we don't know. And although they all got what they had hoped for, these people actually got something better. They received something that even Noah and Abraham and Moses and all of them, they never actually attained. See, what it says is God had something better in mind for us so that they would not reach perfection without us. It was these trials, it was these bad faith situations, these faith tests that actually through time helped them reach Christian perfection. Now, when we talk about Christian perfection, I'm not talking about being a perfect human being. I'm talking about being like Jesus. I'm talking about having a perfect heart that's completely in tune and connected with God. And this says that these people reached it. God had something better in mind to them, that they would reach perfection through these trials. It was through these faith tests that they attained maturity. They attained a closeness with God. They became more like Jesus. That very first verse that we read says, I'm going to just go back to it on my notes. There were others who were tortured, refusing to be released so that they might gain an even better resurrection. Meaning they were in jail and they had the chance to sneak out, break out, hurt somebody, get out of the situation, but they refused. They chose to stay in jail. They choose to stay in that captivity. Why? In hopes of a better resurrection. What are you talking about? You're talking about heaven? Like when they, you know, well, if they go through this trial, they'll wake up in heaven and have a bigger mansion with more golden streets. No. Heaven is equal ground for everybody. That's not what it's talking about. What it means is a better resurrection in this life, meaning that through that trial, they would be born again and come out stronger, come out more mature, come out closer to God, come out looking more like Jesus. These people literally, in many situations, if it wasn't forced upon them, chose to be in these bad situations. They chose to be in these faith tests. They chose to continue to wander. They chose to continue to stay on this side of the line that was drawn in the sand. They continued to be rebels and pioneers because through that trial, they were becoming more like Jesus. So why have faith? I want to tell you three reasons why faith is great. If faith can actually make life harder, why have faith? Here's the first thing. Faith makes you a better person. Faith makes you a better person. Faith invites challenge in your life. And faith invites test into your life. But don't be scared of that. Because those challenges and those seasons of life are actually opportunities to grow stronger. It's matches perfectly with what James, the brother of Jesus, said. And you guys I've read this verse many, many times, but James 1, verse 2, it says, "Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing." See, that's the thing about faith, is it puts us in these situations and it puts us in these faith tests, these pressure cookers. But really, honestly, if we look at it the right way and understand what's going on, this is an opportunity to grow,